answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
They had some evil intentions. We cannot let them have a nuclear weapon. If we did, all this that I'm talking about your data centers, isn't that important? When they start blowing away communities one by one, we cannot let them ever even think about having a nuclear weapon. And that's exactly what's happening. They'll never have a nuclear weapon.
Well, President Trump doubling down on the threat against Iran, posting on Truth Social that Iran will face major military punishment after the Houthis in Yemen claimed they targeted two Saudi oil tankers rocketing up oil. The president is also reportedly considering a major escalation against Iran, saying, quote, "I am considering a massive attack bigger than ever before. I'm close to making a decision. We are all set for it."
That is the latest from Fox as of this morning. And overnight, again, we did strike targets inside Iran. Explosions in the region of one of their major cities, a key Iranian port city, hit repeatedly. That's just the latest round. And Trump also saying at this point that there will be a massive attack on Iran that's going to be bigger than what we've seen so far. He's not giving a timetable, nor should he, but he's making it clear we're not done. You will not deal with us in good faith negotiations, then you're going to pay a price for it. And he's also pointing out, President Trump saying Xi and Putin have told him China and Russia will not sell weapons to Iran. That is a big deal if it is true. By the way, Trump is going to return to the stage tonight, delivering a rescheduled White House Congressional Association dinner at the Waldorf Astoria. That's underway probably about now. And at the same time, remember the original dinner scheduled back in April. All of this in our 250th anniversary year. Had to end when the man slipped through security and was a threat. Everyone got out safe. But you know what some of the liberal media are now talking about doing? While Trump is speaking tonight, we're going to turn our back on him. These are the same people who were diving under tables for cover and protection when a guy was trying to get in to kill Trump. And they're going to turn their back on Trump just as a show of disrespect. Good Lord, what have we come to? We're going to get into that and more coming up. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors USA, July 24, 2026. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. How do you do that? You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Larry Connors USA, Rumble, or Facebook. And everything goes up as a podcast when we finish. Available at News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. And remember, your phone is your radio. You download our free app. Go to the App Store, connected to your phone, look for News Talk STL, find the app, download it for free, and then anytime you want, you can push that button and listen to what's on the air right then, which would be this program right now. Glad to have you. With Larry Connors USA, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8, you are going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more information than you have when we began that hour. Hold me to it. In our next hour, Elon Musk suggesting in the near future, AI robots could replace mankind. You'll want to hear that discussion coming up in our next hour. Later this hour, New York City Mayor Mondamian says, Jews are safe in the city. Everybody's safe in my city. And this follows an attack on two men, stabbing attack. One of them had just left a synagogue. The story behind the story, on this date, Apollo 11 splashes down, bringing back our Americans who had walked on the moon. It is a fascinating story. And Neil Armstrong might have died before that mission ever happened. That's part of the story behind the story coming up tonight. In the meantime, back to the dealing with Iran. General King assesses the situation.
The path that we're on is pretty clear. Do we go back and do more negotiations with these folks, or do we actually face reality in terms of the fact that what we have seen through negotiations, remember, negotiations actually began after we went to a ceasefire on April the 7th. Negotiations kicked in pretty much the next day. And for weeks after that, we tried to work a deal. And we actually did get a deal. And the president of Iran signed it, and the president of the United States signed it. And that in itself was an accomplishment that hasn't been done before, because in that deal, there was only one agreement. All the tough issues were kicked down the road for 60 or more days, and it was open the Straits of Hormuz. And what happened? We removed our blockade, and what did they do? They refused to give up their control of the Straits and influence of it, and actually went so far as to fire on ships who were not obeying their orders. What they expected out of that was negotiation team to come back and huddle again,
right,
to work out future compromises, etc. But what did they get? They miscalculated once again. President Trump was not going to stand for that. It was a violation of the deal that he signed.
Recalculating. That's what the Iranians are having to do. And the retired four-star general is right. Iran miscalculated. They thought, well, we can go ahead and fire away, and they will want to have more meetings. No, Trump says, we're going to fire back. And I want to point something out. The Memorandum of Understanding, which immediately was blasted by even some on the right, and I agreed that we would not want to do a lot of that stuff, but there were certain parameters Iran had to meet before certain monies would be released to them. And Trump had stated, it is their money we're holding, and we've been holding, and we will begin to return it, but they're going to have to meet certain qualifications as we begin to release money in drops, not a whole bucket full. Well, CNN and NN wants to do the best they can to damage Trump and say, look, right now he's claiming he's going to keep their money. And when he said during the Memorandum of Understanding discussion, it is their money. We'll give it back. No, CNN, you know what you're doing. You're lying and you're trying to twist the fact. He did say he would give it back. It is their money, but he's not going to just hand it over to them until they meet certain phases imposed by the Memorandum of Understanding. And they already dismissed that when they started firing on ships in the Strait. And by the way, Secretary of State Rubio says they clearly are not ready to make a deal.
You know, guys, I saw Araghchi, their foreign minister, who the other day say or something about their policies, an eye for an eye. The president's policy is a head for an eye.
Uh-huh.
I mean, honestly, that's what it's going to be. I mean, they will pay a very heavy price for the things they're doing. They're already paying a very heavy price. You guys don't know it because you don't cover it. You're not in Iran. You're not in the street. They don't have a free media. But they're going to continue to pay a very heavy price. Their industrial base has been decimated. Their defense industrial base has been decimated. They're losing launchers. They're losing radars every single night. They are suffering billions of dollars in damage, and their economy is a disaster. But despite all that, okay, these people who are calling us every day, begging, let's do a deal. They send us messages through other countries, third countries. I mean, they're running out of countries to send. Even I had countries here coming up to me. Oh, I just spoke to the Iranians. They want to do a deal. The problem is, every time these people do a deal, they either break it or after they make it, they want to change the deal. So they're probably not ready to do a deal yet, but they will be soon because the price they're paying is very high despite their tough talk and their flowery language and their stupid Lego videos they put out. I've never seen them, but they put these things out on social media. Despite all that bravado, they are suffering tremendously, and they're going to suffer more until they come to their senses. They're not there yet, unfortunately.
And unfortunately, Iranian citizens, innocents, are going to suffer. The elite, the Ayatollah, the mullahs, they will not suffer. They will not suffer. They will not miss a meal. They will have all the drink they want available. But the citizens will suffer. But they don't care about their citizens. And, of course, those in Iran who want to stand up against the regime and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, they have no weapons. And they'll be cut down the streets. That's happened repeatedly. And once again, retired General Major King says, here is where the option is.
So the choice going forward is, do we fix this regime and shut down their behavior once and for all, go back to major combat operations? That is a much better choice. Mm-hmm. If we continue in negotiations, they've already demonstrated, even if we get a deal, they will not comply with it. What would that mean? That would mean strategic failure. People are not going to remember 5 years from now that we had to pay higher gas prices. And I'm not minimizing the impact that has on families and working class families who are meeting pay bills every month. Certainly it has an impact on them. But what they will remember is a regime that has recovered, that has rebuilt itself, that is a predator in the region again. And yes, killing Americans and our allies and partners and the Israelis once again. They will remember that. And that is something we can avoid right now. And I'm absolutely convinced the president is not going to go down that path. He's going to go down the path to fix this, the behavior of this regime forcibly once and for all.
Once and for all. And of course, we have those inside our nation that want to see Trump fail. They want our nation to fail. And you heard him say, yes, there's going to be concern about gas prices. What's the headline on CNN as I'm looking at it right now? They'll probably change when you look at it. They're pointing out that oil supply routes are under siege. Could make everything more expensive. And they got a gas sign at a station. I don't know where it was taken, but showing gas at $5.70 to almost $6 a gallon. I'll tell you that, it wasn't California, because it'd be more than that, because in California, they have another almost 70-cent state tax they put on. But that's what they want to push in front of the people, not just in reference to midterm election, but to make the American public upset with what we're doing, trying to protect the Gulf region in general, Israel, and our nation from the Iranian possibility of getting a nuclear weapon. And I loved Secretary of State Rubio saying, our policy right now, while they talk eye for an eye hitting us, our policy will be a head for an eye, and we will continue to strike you. In the meantime, New York City Mayor Mondami insisting Jews in his city are safe. Now, this comes after two men, one of them Jewish, stabbed, and that man had just left a synagogue. And Jewish leaders state the real facts.
It was meant to be a day to commemorate the tragedies that have befallen the Jewish people throughout our history. But when a member of our community was stabbed on his way out of the synagogue, the evil we gathered to remember stopped belonging to the past. Suddenly, it was right here in the present. When public officials repeatedly cast the Jewish community as a stand-in for actions of the Israeli government to create a climate in which Jews become targets. You know, when I was growing up, the only time we saw security outside of my synagogue or outside of my Jewish day school was when the mayor came to speak. The police were there to protect him. Today, every time the mayor speaks, we need the police to protect us. Jewish life in America is starting to feel like Jewish life in Europe. Armed guards, bulletproof glass, and the constant fear that yesterday's rhetoric will turn into today's assault.
And what gets me, yesterday, the man that was accused of stabbing a Jewish man just leaving the synagogue, and his other victim was Asian, he was shouting, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. And they're saying, we don't know if it's a hate crime. He might have had a mental illness. Well, the mental illness is Islamic jihadism. Kill Jews. That's what he was saying. And they still are debating, oh, was it a hate crime or not? Question raised to Mondami.
What do you have to say to critics who say you aren't doing enough to keep Jewish New Yorkers safe?
You know, first and foremost, I want to make clear that this is a city where we have no tolerance for hatred of any
right.
kind. Be it
right.
hatred of someone on the basis of their faith, on their background, national identity. This is a city that not only has no tolerance for it, but would also hold anyone who is found to be perpetrating it fully accountable. And I'll also just take a moment to address yesterday's horrific stabbings on the Upper West Side of an Asian male and a Jewish male. I am so relieved to hear that both of these victims are in stable condition, and I wish them a full and speedy recovery, and my heart breaks for them and their families.
Yeah, but that's not sincere. He's not that concerned about them. And he has endorsed and supported Democrat socialists who are basically all in for hating and killing Jews. Make clear you understand that. Again, we're talking about how far the left has gone, and it's just wobbling even more so. I want you to listen to James Carville. He did an interview with the Gateway pundit, Jim Hoff, and talking about voter ID, which, of course, most Democrats will tell you, oh, voter ID, that's going to take away our ability. It will be disenfranchising a lot of people. When all we're saying, you need to have voter ID. Carville, political analyst who got Carter, correction, not Carter, but got Clinton into the White House, he is saying, you guys on the left, Democrats, you need to kick the far, far left out because they should not be inside your tent. This is not a hill to die on.
I never had a problem with it. I'm just saying, of all the things, if every poll shows 75 or better, say we should have some kind of an ID to vote. Some say, I don't know what it is, but shit, just quit fighting and go along with it and move to the next thing.
Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you, what are you going along with? With what?
Whatever the law in Louisiana is, make it the national law.
Well, I probably have no problem with that.
Now, I need to clarify who he is talking to. That was the Politics War Room podcast with Al Hunt. But again, Carville acknowledging Democrats are fighting a losing political battle by continuing to resist voter identification requirements. I voted yesterday. Early voting is open. And of course, what they want to see? A voter ID. I hesitate. I thought, what if I say I don't have it? Would I get to vote? Of course I wouldn't. Or if I do, it's a provisional ballot, be counted only if necessary. And the Democrats say, well, if you ask somebody for voter ID, the minorities are too stupid and poor to get one. Give me a break. Coming up, Elon Musk on just how far the left has gone. Voter ID being one of them, but there's even more. And Elon Musk points it out in an interview with The Economist in Britain. And the story behind the story, this date, Apollo 11 returns with our men who walked on the moon's surface. Do you remember that event when it happened? Do you remember what started it? JFK in a speech. It's all coming up. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoon's height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund Heit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. Every summer, homeowners make plans, a new grill, a backyard project, a family vacation. But what about the upgrades you could enjoy every single day? Your windows drafty, difficult to open? Your patio entry door has seen better days. Now's the time to make a change. Renewal by Anderson makes replacing windows and doors simple. Beautifully crafted products, professional installation. And right now, save big. Get $1,000 off your patio or entry door and take $400 off each replacement window. And if you schedule your appointment before July 12, get an additional $250 off your entire purchase. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit renewalbyanderson.com. 877-WINDOWS or visit renewalbyanderson.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products. Exceptional service. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Take a speech from Obama and Hillary, and then go to someone and say, who's on the sort of what I call the lunatic left, and say, "What do you think of the speech by Trump?" I'm like, "Oh wow, he's the worst person ever." Actually, that was a speech by Obama, or actually, that was a speech by Hillary.
I agree that the center of gravity in this country has shifted. Certainly the Democratic Party has shifted to the left, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people like Rupert Lowe. I'm talking
right.
about
Please.
People.
It's actually just normal people. It's just normal people. And and here are the principles. And tell me, which of these sound terrible? That we should have secure borders, that we should have safe cities, that we should have sensible spending. Which of those three are far right
those
fringe?
Three, no,
and I would like to just admonish you and the media for the absurd characterization of the far right. It is false and misleading and nonsense. Please keep this part in.
he's telling the producers of that show, The Economist, keep this part in, what I just said. Keep it in. Don't cut it out. I want everyone to hear my response to this idiot interviewer from London with The Economist. Musk is correct. You tell someone, what do you think of these words? And you start reading them. And you say, you ask them, what do you think if Trump had said that? And, oh, he's just terrible. He's mean. He's ugly. He's demonic. He's Hitler-like. And all the various pieces of CRAP they throw in with Trump. And then you say, well, to be honest, that was a speech by Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton or Obama. Oh. And they're just like she was, absolutely clueless, and they have no argument. They have no argument because they built their argument on a false premise to begin with. Elon Musk took her to school in pointing out just how bad it is. And the other thing he was pointing out is that how bad London and all of Europe has been getting with this Islamization that they've allowed to happen. I have told you repeatedly, I know if you're a constant listener, maybe you get tired of me saying it, but every day we have hundreds of new listeners joining us, partly because of you spreading the word, and I thank you for that. But they have not heard me say, watch what happens in Europe. That's a precursor of what could happen here, and we're seeing it. I mean, just in New York City the other day, a guy shouting Allah Akbar and goes at two different people, one who had just left a Jewish synagogue, using a knife against them. Of course, I don't hear the cry from the left, oh, we should grab all the knives and bring them in. No one should have a knife like they do with guns. But they don't. and they're trying to dismiss it as a hate crime. How do you explain it's not a hate crime when the guy is yelling, Allah Akbar? Well, he has a mental illness. He might well have. But jihadism is a mental illness. And they just want to dismiss it, say, well, it's nothing really to do with what we really believe. The hell it doesn't. And in fact, you not only put that out, you promote it, you embellish it, and you basically encourage it. You do. So Musk was trying to talk to the host about the violence that is happening across Europe and specifically in England and specifically London.
London is a much safer city than any city in the United States. Violent crime in the UK is not where you think it is. In fact, it's coming down. You have painted, and because you have so many followers, so many Americans believe it, a kind of view that Europe and the UK are kind of, you know, overrun with terrifying Muslim immigrants. There's rape on every corner. There's a sort of civilizational destruction.
I haven't said any of those things. No. If you have a large and growing, rapidly growing, group of people whose beliefs are antithetical to Western beliefs, at some point there will be a reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
They will try to implement their views, and those who oppose it will oppose it, and that's what you call civil war. And obviously, this is the trend.
It is a trend. Musk suggesting you're going to have civil war in Europe between those trying to defend their country, their nationality, their culture from those who have invaded it, and they want to not assimilate, but disassemble the nation they're moving into. And of course, she gets out on her over her skis like many on the left do. Well, you have said there's a rape and a murder on every corner. He said, I never said that. And he's right. He's never said that. It's like the guys I was telling you about the other day. Somehow or another, and these are drinking buddies, poker playing buddies, one of them, and mentioned something about Trump. Oh, Trump lies all the time. He lies all the time. Both of them were sitting there just telling me, he lies all the time. Every day he lies. I said, okay. What did he lie about today? Well, he lies all the time. Well, what did he lie about yesterday? Well, he lies all the time. It is a mantra filled with hate and falsehood, but they keep shoving it, and they got plenty of willful, useful idiots out there willing to lap it up just like dogs thirsty for water. And, of course, she felt she could not have this interview without Musk, without Are you listening? Are you listening? She can't have this interview with Elon Musk without playing the race card.
People say that you're a racist. What is the motivation for doing that? Are you fomenting?
My partner is she's half Indian, and my and I have four children with her. One of them was named after a famous Indian physicist. So I would say I'm not racist, and also. If you look at the people that are employed at my companies, we have senior executives of all races. I don't think there's any racism there.
Are you anti-Muslim?
I'm against having if people are coming to a country with antithetical views. I am against that. I'm against rape and murder. I'm against the imposition of rules and laws that are contrary to what we've come to accept in the West. And I think it's a crying shame that the sort of traditional media like you don't recognize this.
Now, he was very careful and deliberate in responding. I could have edited it down to make him look like bang, 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 my answer. But he was thoughtful, laying out a preface, thinking of all the arguments he could make, and at the same time trying to keep in the context of her question, but saying in the bottom line, the summary is, you guys ignore it. You ignore it. You are the ones who promote racism. Now, I'm surprised she didn't jump back at him and say, so your partner is an Indian. Are you using them as a slave? That was just the next step she could have gone. She didn't. But raising the issue about slave labor, let's talk about that for a moment. We're going to spend more time on that in the next hour. All of these are calling out for black reparations for slavery that happened generations ago. I didn't have anything to do with it. My parents didn't. I don't think my grandparents did. I don't know what my great-grandparents did, nor do you. Maybe you do. I don't. But they're calling out for reparations. Who's to be paid? Even black Americans are saying, who's going to get paid for it? Well, of course, there are a lot of them that, if there's any money to be doled out, I want to be first in line. And right now, we are having trade and have been having trade and relationships with slave labor countries. And in fact, U.S. businesses have been relying on basically slave labor in some of these other nations. Trump is saying we're going to put a stop to that and we're going to be cracking down, partly with imposed tariffs, partly with threatened action against those carrying it out. We're going to get into that in more detail in the next hour. It's not a matter that you can buy something made in China just to be getting it cheaper. If you can, I'm sure you will. The dollar is going to be your deciding factor. Whether or not it was made by Chinese laborers who are getting, quote, a decent wage, or whether it was made by Uyghur Christians as slaves, I wouldn't know and you wouldn't know either. But we know it happens. And Trump says we're going to start trying to put an end to it. I don't hear anyone on the left praising Trump for trying to condemn slave labor. I don't hear a single voice on the left saying we need to stop slave labor all around the world. Of course, trying to accomplish it is a very difficult task, but we do have it going on even in our nation when you get down to it, especially if it's illegals. Why do you think they were brought here? They are being used as slaves, sex slaves, slaves for pedophiles, slaves to create labor at a lower cost or at no cost for American workers to lose their jobs. That's slave labor. We're going to get into that in more detail coming up in the next hour. Also going to talk about Dr. Rand Paul releasing bombshell documents over the week about the now infamous origins of COVID-19. You didn't hear a lot about it. Why? Well, because the mainstream media plays look away, look away. We will not. We will discuss that in the next hour. But coming up next, the story behind the story, when Apollo 11 brought our men back from the moon.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Every summer, homeowners make plans, a new grill, a backyard project, a family vacation. But what about the upgrades you could enjoy every single day? Your windows drafty, difficult to open? Your patio entry door has seen better days. Now's the time to make a change. Renewal by Anderson makes replacing windows and doors simple. Beautifully crafted products, professional installation. And right now, save big. Get $1,000 off your patio or entry door and take $400 off each replacement window. And if you schedule your appointment before July 12, get an additional $250 off your entire purchase. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit renewalbyanderson.com. 877-WINDOWS or visit renewalbyanderson.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products. Exceptional service. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Flashdown should be just now.
Flash! That was in chorus. They're back from the moon. Astronauts Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins landing in the Pacific Ocean, southwest of Hawaii. And you know, Ron, it's interesting that they came down according to my calculations at 5:51, which was the time planned months and months ago. 5:51 a.m. ship time. 12:51 p.m.
That was pretty fascinating. An event planned months before, hitting basically on target when we would return our men from the moon after walking on the moon. Apollo 11, the first American spacecraft that landed humans on the moon, the fifth crewed mission of NASA's Apollo program, crewed by Commander Neil Armstrong, Command Module Pilot Michael Collins, Lunar Module Pilot Edwin Buzz Aldrin. All of them were on their second and final space flight, and then two of them got to walk on the moon, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. But on this date, 1969, Apollo 11 splashed down in the Pacific, just as planned. Of course, we had a Navy ship nearby, helicopters ready to go rescue the men in the returning module. Keep in mind, they would splash down the ocean in balloons and various flotation devices would then envelop the capsule to keep them floating until they could be rescued, basically taken out. I mean, it wasn't going to be totally safe until they were out of that vehicle, just in case something went wrong and began to sink. But all of this began, if you remember, by JFK when he began talking about going to the moon. He made a speech to Congress telling this is what we need to do. Now, I'll give you an example of what he had to say when he was at Rice University in Houston, September 12, 1962.
We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills, because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
That, again, President JFK, and that part of a speech he delivered September 12 at Rice University, fulfilling a national goal he had set in May 1961, challenging the U.S. to put a man on the moon, return him safely before the end of the decade. It was an ambitious program. The Soviet Union, despite early leads in spaceflight, was unable to match the Saturn V rocket and its uncrewed lunar probe crashed into the moon on July 21st, while Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were still on the lunar surface. And then you go back to the day of liftoff for Apollo 11, July 16, 1969.
This is Apollo Saturn launch control, T-minus 3 hours, 4 minutes, 32 seconds, and counting. Right on time as far as the astronaut countdown is concerned. The prime crew now departing from their crew quarters. 10, 9, ignition sequence start.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. It has a stark beauty all its own. It's like much of the high desert of the United States. It's different, but it's very pretty out here.
Oh, geez, that's great. Is the lighting halfway decent?
Yes, indeed. They've got the flag up now, and you can see the stars and stripes on the lunar surface.
The stars and stripes planted on the moon. And again, you go back to John Kennedy's speech, the crowd to 40,000 at Rice University, and also his address in May 1961 to Congress on an urgent national need. And he said in one part in the Rice speech, "There is no strife, no prejudice, no national conflict in outer space as yet. Its hazards are hostile to us all. Its conquest deserves the best of all mankind, of all mankind." So then when Neil Armstrong stepped out and onto the moon, at that point, 80, or rather 600 million viewers were estimated to be watching, roughly one-fifth of the world's population, making it the most watched TV event in history at that point.
Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now.
Okay, I just checked getting back up to that first step. That hasn't collapsed too far, but it's adequate to get back up.
Roger, we copy.
That's a pretty good little jump.
So there's a foot on the moon, stepping down on the moon. If he's testing that first step, he must be stepping down on the moon at this point. Armstrong is on the moon. Neil Armstrong, 38-year-old American, standing on the surface of the moon on this July 20th, 1969.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
His quote was, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind."
And then he was followed by Buzz Aldrin. They were on the moon for roughly 2 hours walking around, 2.5 hours to be more precise. They spoke by phone with then-President Richard Nixon. It was an amazing moment. Moon flight, of course, space flight of any type, carried risk. They all knew it, but it was a calculated risk, and they were willing to take it. They were brave pioneers. You cannot deny that. Armstrong and all the other NASA personnel were used to risk, but calculated risk. Many of them had served as test pilots. And in one incident, Neil Armstrong, as a test pilot, he might not have survived to walk the moon. So, yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them, and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
I was a pilot of one of the two pilots of the B-29 carrying a rocket out aircraft to altitude where we would release the airplane and it would go doing the testing, and we were just providing the service, get the rocket airplane up to a starting point. And we were somewhere up above 30,000 feet when the governor on one of the propellers failed and the propeller started running away, that is going faster and faster and faster. And of course, at some point in time, it's going to explode. Mm-hmm. And so we had the choice of either slowing down to try to slow down the propeller or speeding up so that we could drop the rocket. We chose the latter, dropped the rocket, and almost instantaneously thereafter, the propeller exploded and blades cut through the, it was the far right engine, cut through the number three engine, cut through the fuselage and the number two engine, and left only the number one engine running. That's an uncomfortable position, one out of four. But fortunately, we had a lot of altitude, and we had a big dry lake bed not too far away where we could land, so we could make a very gentle turns and keep the power back and sort of make a gliding approach into the landing area. Now, the second pilot, so his control cables had been cut by the propeller, so his controls were of no use whatever. I still had control, so I was flying the airplane and he was doing the thinking. And when we got to the ground and looked at the airplane afterwards, we found that my cables had been cut too, but there were still a few strands of the cable left. So we were very fortunate to have survived that situation.
Blessed. An angel holding those threads together. Neil Armstrong and his other pilot, they could have gone down in flames at that point, and he would not have been around to carry out the Apollo 11 mission. And even when they were training for the mission, they were trying to simulate what it would be like landing a lunar module on the surface of the moon. So they came up with this really strange-looking contraption with him strapped in to go up and hover and then try to maneuver himself down using different blasts from different arms off the apparatus. And that did not go well. And that could have also ended in disaster.
And look, another example, I guess, was in the lunar training when you had to eject mm-hmm. from the rocket within seconds of your life, as I understand it. Take us through that.
We needed something to simulate landing on the moon. The moon has no atmosphere, so you're flying in a vacuum. And the gravity is much lower. Right. So the characteristics of a flying machine in that environment are very different than they are here on Earth. And we felt we had to understand those variations and be able to feel comfortable in flying the lunar module to the surface of the moon in the actual conditions. So this device did provide very good training and experience in that mode. Unfortunately, it was a complicated machine with a lot of different rockets and wires and claptrap of all this, and consequently was subject to malfunction. And one of those malfunctions snapped on me one day, and I lost my control system. And you know pretty quickly that it's time to go and part company with your friend. And I did that, and the ejection seat worked very well, fortunately, and I bit my tongue, but that was the only real damage.
He bit his tongue while hitting the ejection button and firing away from the craft that was going down. Again, a very close call for Neil Armstrong. Test pilots are always used to the risk, but again, it's an assessed, calculated risk. But then again, some things will happen you might not have planned for. And in this case, the last resort is hit the ejection button. Go. We cannot do this story while we're talking about risk to those who made various journeys on behalf of NASA. And I will say the same for cosmonauts in Russia. But I want to remind you of what happened in the beginning of Project Apollo. It was halted January 27, 1967, 2 years before going to the moon. There was a fire on Apollo 1 on the launch pad. Astronauts Gus Grissom, Ed White, Roger B. Chaffee all died. They never even got off the ground. They were just in the spacecraft on the launch pad going through various training procedures. So the risk was always there. And another point to keep in mind, Kennedy had actually met with Khrushchev, who was the premier of the Soviet Union, in 1961. And he proposed, why don't we make the moon landing a joint project? And Khrushchev declined the offer. Kennedy brought it up again in a joint expedition to the moon in a speech to the UN General Assembly September 20, 1963. But then the idea of a joint moon mission abandoned after Kennedy's death. He said, why do we go to the moon? We choose to go to the moon and do the other things because, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. And indeed they were. I remember the night we were landing on the moon, sitting outside around the pool, drinking a beer, looking up at the moon, thinking we are actually landing on the moon. Then went in to pick it up on TV and watch it. Those who were alive then, you can remember the excitement and praise and honor for those men and women who took part in that program and what it meant for our nation. The U.S. flag planted on the moon. Another story behind the story will be coming up Monday. You do not want to miss it. And I remind you, we still have another second hour to come. You don't want to go away from that either. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Under Law. .com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.